Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. When you or they visit the website for the show, you will see something you can click on that says award-winning custom-built websites, only $99 per month. That's not a sponsor. That's the folks who built CatholicSportsRadio.net for me. They are called Merchantside Marketing Group, and they really have my back. An example of that was a recent phone call with them where I was told, you know, your site is getting kind of big. You're probably going to need to look at changing your hosting plan before you max out what you have now. And as recently as a day or two ago, I got a courtesy email from Merchantside Marketing Group to let me know about an annual renewal charge coming up before it actually hit. Those are little differences that make a company like that stand out. Click through that $99 a month ad on CatholicSportsRadio.net to see what they can do for you or someone you know who could benefit from their services. And of course, tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. In the Stanley Cup Finals last month, the Tampa Bay Lightning had a 3-0 lead over the Montreal Canadiens. Everybody was wondering if they were going to sweep the best of seven series because they were putting it in the context of, oh my gosh, this can't be done. It's only been done once in the history of the Stanley Cup Finals, and something like only 4 times in the playoffs, all rounds considered, overall, ever. And so people were counting out the Canadiens. Now, granted, it doesn't matter that they did go on to lose in 5 games after having won game 4, but the fact of the matter is people were counting them out and saying it can't be done. And immediately they were resigning themselves to the fact that the Canadiens would not be able to come back on the Lightning. Last week, Sunday, we heard from John's Gospel, chapter 6, the story about the fish and the loaves. A reflection that I made on that is the idea of putting limits on God and what we think he can or can't do, just like how people thought, well, the Canadiens are not going to be able to come back. And mind you, this is a Canadiens team that had come back on the Maple Leafs earlier in the 2021 playoffs. So let us remember from John chapter 6 that the fish and the loaves story could also very much be a reminder to us all that we should not put limits on God, and as a result, we can be Stanley Cup champions of our faith when we surrender anything and everything to him because we know that he can do all. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest's name is synonymous with wrestling success. He won 6 consecutive world championships as a competitor from 1987 to 92, including gold medals at the 1988 Olympic Games in Seoul and the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. Additionally, he owns 5 national championships as head coach of Oklahoma State's men's wrestling program, a role that he has held for 30 years. During that time, he has coached 33 NCAA individual champions and 5 Olympians. He was recognized as the National Wrestling Coaches Association Coach of the Year in 1994 and 2003, and is a 15-time selection as his conference's Coach of the Year. Most recently, he led his squad to its 9th consecutive Big 12 tournament title, with 3 of his student-athletes claiming individual Big 12 conference titles in 2021. He has an .863 winning percentage for his career dual match record as a head coach. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, John Smith.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yes, thank you, John. I mentioned just there in the intro that you are the coach at Oklahoma State University. It's ironic that your international wrestling career took you around the world, because you otherwise have always been an Oklahoman, being born there and attended college in your home state. Growing up, how many kids were there in your family, and was Catholicism prevalent all throughout your years as a child?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we grew up in Del City, Oklahoma, like you said. I've been pretty fortunate that I've been able to stay here in the state. I've always enjoyed my time here. Like you said, I've traveled all over the world. I always look forward to coming back home. Grew up in a family of 10, 6 girls, 4 boys,
wow.
One set of parents. We were very strong in our faith, not just on Sundays, but several days a week. We'd say the rosary as a family, just constantly, just always seems to be, when I was growing up, always just seemed to be something we were doing with the church, even during the weeks with CCD and things like that. And of course, obviously, 10 children and getting your sacraments in. Is going to be a busy time almost every year. So I'll just say this. My dad was a convert that really led the way. He took in the Catholic faith, ran with it, was the leader in our family. When we would say rosaries, he would be leading them. And, you know, so we just had a good experience. Nothing was easy. There's nothing easy about 10 children, you know. And, you know, of course, I didn't know any difference until I got to college, and I realized, wow, people didn't live like we did. But that doesn't mean they live better than us. It was just different with 10 children. Mm-hmm. You know, you're fighting for a hot shower. You're fighting for breakfast. If you're late to dinner, you didn't get dinner, you know, just things like that, that really are great lessons. And really looking back, what a wonderful time it was for all of us.
You mentioned 6 girls and 4 boys. Where were you in the 10?
I was the 7th of 10. I was the 7th born of 10. And I have a younger sister than me and 2 younger brothers. So, you know, when you're the 7th born, and at one time we all lived in the same house together, all 10 of us, I think, for 2 years. You know, you didn't have a bedroom until you're in 8th or 9th grade. And so you had a closet to put some clothes in, and, you know, you were sleeping with your brothers, you're sleeping with your sisters. And again, you know, like I said, I didn't know any different. Just always felt like it was home to me, and it was a good experience for me.
So on that note, speaking of family, share with the audience about all the family members who've had success in sports, brothers, nephews, a son of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my oldest brother, we started wrestling in Del City, just a sport that we took in. You know, we were, I think, maybe a little bit being a family of 10 and just scrapping all the time, it seemed like. You know, wrestling just seemed to come natural for us. And of course, my oldest brother started, and he ended up, you know, having a great career, winning several state championships, going on to Oklahoma State, being a national champion. making the 1984 Olympic team. You know, there's always someone ahead of you. And for me, he was always really a great role model, not just athletically, but spiritually as well. You know, just led by his faith and really was, as a younger sibling, you're just lucky that you had an older brother that just kind of showed the path, showed the way. Here's how we live life. Here's how we train. This is what we do. And of course, then, as you know, I followed my brother. My younger brother, Pat, followed me to Oklahoma State. Pat was the first four-time NCAA champion in the history of the sport, you know. And since then, he won his fourth one in 1994. And I got to coach him. What a great experience that was, to doing something that's never been done. And, of course, my younger brother, Mark, came to Oklahoma State, ended up being a three-time All-American. But a lot of success in sports. I got nephews, my own son. I've got two kids now. I have a 12-year-old. I have five children. I have two younger ones that are still wrestling. One's 12-year-old and one's a 17-year-old. My 17-year-old just won a state championship.
Wow.
We got nephews that won the NCAA championships, several of them. We have a whole lot of nephews that have been All-Americans in the sport. We have a nephew, Jake Remuto, who plays for the Philadelphia Phillies and starting catcher, played in the All-Star game this year and last year, hit a home run actually this year in the All-Star game, was a very successful wrestler, but he was a little better in baseball. And, of course, he's had a great career, and we're starting to get into some great-grandchildren now, you know. And so when you think of 10 children that my mom and dad had, I think there's 36, 37 grandchildren. And there's already 10 to 12 great-grandchildren. I will. I'll say this. You know, it's amazing, you know, that all 10 of us really have still a strong Catholic presence in our life. And that just tells you about how important parents are, you know, that they're really the leader of the family. And like I said before, my dad was a very strong leader in his faith and what he wanted to see.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful. At the point when you were having all the success that you enjoyed internationally, what did your faith life look like then?
Oh, I think it was probably stronger than it's ever been.
Wow. You
know, it seemed real simple for me, you know. It was, I kept my priorities straight. I loved wrestling. I loved trying to be the best wrestler in the world, pound for pound. I loved the chasing world championships. I loved preparing for Olympic gold medals. But I also always recognized that there's another purpose that's much bigger than this, you know, and that's my faith and the salvation of what you want to do in life. And, you know, so I just say that, you know, it allowed me to stay humble and recognize that you can be beat at any time. You can get hurt at any time. You can fall off the top anytime. And I think that, you know, when you keep that in perspective and you're not abusing success, it gave me a chance to be successful for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, that's great to hear. It's great testimony, because the reason I ask that is because normally the story that we hear is someone will say, well, my faith really started to drop off a little bit then. It's come back around more in recent years, but you know, you get busy with schedules like that. There's training, there's competitions, and they go on and talk about all these different things that they're missing mass and they really fall away from their faith. But I love the perspective that you brought of saying that, hey, this can all be taken away from me at any time. Or as you mentioned, it could be an injury, it could be et cetera, et cetera. So it's great perspective that you had, and God bless you that you were able to be so firmly rooted in your faith that as you went through all that, you recognized that's what had you where you were.
I agree. And I don't know. I think that when you're brought up as a family like we were with 10 children, you think of those nights that, you know, that your dad decided we're going to say the rosary, and you know, we all didn't always look forward to that. It was like, oh, not again. You know? And you just look back. I think you look at the sacrifices that your parents made, And I think it just kind of gives you a perspective of life, you know, and that's why I say it's so important, you know, that the parents lead, you lead your children, you know, especially as Catholics. You know, I think all the attitude that I took and I take today is a simple attitude, because it just seemed like we were brought up simple in the family of 10, that we seemed to manage everything, and we never thought about that we needed more clothes, or never thought about that we don't have something that someone else has. You know, it just seemed like our perspective was surrounded by our faith. And as we, I think it, for all of us, as we grew older, it was just real simple to follow our faith. It's just what we do, what we did, and what we want to do.
Yeah, there's a great foundation that had been set, and more importantly, it's great witness for the importance of staying humble. Last week on this show, former National Hockey Leaguer John Scott said that people ask him about his sport all the time, but that he'd really much rather talk about his faith. John, you actually are going to be talking about your sport a lot. Tell the audience where you're about to go to and what you're about to embark on.
Well, and as we know, it's Olympic time, and I'm going to be announcing the men's and women's freestyle wrestling and men's Greco-Roman. We're actually going to stay in the States. We're going to do it from Miami, but this will be my second opportunity to do this. I did it in 2016. I guess I did a good enough job that they wanted me back, but I kind of look forward to it. It's kind of an exciting event. The U.S. has a really strong men's freestyle program and real strong in women's freestyle. You may not know this, but you know, women's wrestling is one of the fastest growing sports in high school athletics for women. And so, you know, they really worked hard. And of course, you know, as a coach, you've come to realize and appreciate that these young women love what they do. They love the sport. You know, a lot of them were brought up with brothers that wrestled. And, I think all six of my sisters would have wrestled if they had that opportunity. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could beat, you know, at 10 years old, I could beat just about everyone in the state and everyone in the nation. But I had two sisters that just whipped me constantly. and so they were good, you know, but so it's exciting to see the growth of wrestling right now. I think we're in a time if you get a chance to watch the wrestling in the Olympics, we're at a time where wrestling is the greatest it's ever been. I mean, very talented, a lot of countries in the world compete in the sport, and it's just a good time to be involved in wrestling.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And John, of course, is in the position of being able to talk to young men regularly, student athletes, at a critical time in their life, the college years, when there's a lot of temptation around. But before I have him share with us about those conversations that he's having, please do know that Catholic Sports Radio is very much a ministry for me. This is something I felt called to do in late 2018, and then I launched it in February of 2019. And I've worked to remain obedient to God's call to try to reach more people and move them in their faith life, whatever that looks like, falling away from the church or a going through the motions, checking the box Sunday Mass attendee, or even those who are on fire for their faith. In doing the work that I do for the kingdom, it is just me, and there's probably a whole lot more involved than what you might think in just hearing me interview guests each week. There's no one helping me with this, so it's yours truly that's booking the guests, doing the research, recording the interviews, doing the post-production, the editing on them, keeping up the website, doing all the social media posts, the list goes on. And I don't get any income from doing this, so all the expenses, and you'd be surprised how quickly they add up, unfortunately have to come out of my own pocket, which I have admitted does get challenging. I have cited specific examples of those costs on a number of other episodes. It all moves me to appeal to you to consider helping support Catholic Sports Radio. I mentioned last week that we're coming up on 2.5 years that I've been doing this every week, but over that time, the costs that come with keeping this ministry have not gone away. So if you feel that what I'm doing is making an impact and that you believe in my ministry, you like Catholic Sports Radio and feel it's helping your faith life, You think it's a good resource to help others in their faith life? I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution. I have sometimes referred to it as a form of tithing and can tell you that there are two ways that you can bless this show with financial assistance. You can do it securely online through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast and easy to do, and you can contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from when you utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. You put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead send in a check through the mail. Just go to the contact section of the website to send a message to ask for the address to send it to, and I will personally email you back with the information for where you can mail your check. Your contribution will greatly help me with the expenses that I'm referring to that come with operating the Catholic Sports Radio ministry. And I'll happily even say your name when you support the show, either through an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. John, you are in a unique position and have been for so many years to talk with student athletes not only about wrestling techniques and strategies, but about being a man. And granted, Oklahoma State is not a Catholic school, but I've got to believe that over your 30 years there, you have found a way to draw upon your faith to talk to student athletes about priorities and the fact that wrestling can't be and won't be what their life is all about.
No, you're right, Bruce. But I will say this about Stillwater. We're a town of about 50,000, Oklahoma State University, obviously. We're building two new churches. We built one new church in 2018 for the our parish community.
Hmm.
And we are now building a student center, new student center, St. John's Evangelist, with Father Kerry Walkulich, for the growing number of Catholic students that we have at OSU.
Mm.
So we're really on fire for Jesus in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Beautiful.
It's been a real joy for me to be able to just watch and see how, you know, how motivating our priest, our Father Brian O'Brien at St. Francis, the new church that we just built. Beautiful. If you go online and look at the new St. Francis that we built, just a beautiful parish hall, classroom buildings. Incredible. Father Robert Duff, who's currently there as well. I'll just say that, you know, we are on fire, and I think you respect that, and you need to be motivated by that. And for me, it is about my student athletes, you know, this is, as well as my family, but my student athletes, finding a place for them, you know. It's a real challenge. I think is more challenges today than I think we've had ever. I think that there's been so many changes with college athletics in the last year that it's kind of disrupted some things that you're trying to get back on track. You know, this name, image, and likeness. Kids are able to make money now.
Right.
I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but it is a distraction.
For some.
Some of these student athletes, and so we're just going to have to balance through it, you know. And the one thing I've learned about coaching in NCAA is be prepared for changes, and some of them you don't like, some of them aren't good, some of them you may feel differently about, but in the end it is a change. And you know what doesn't change is your faith and your values and the structure of how you want to run your program and the influence that you want to create for these young people. That doesn't change, you know. So it's just it's a different time. But, you know, I feel like in the last several years as a head coach, it seems to me that I'm needed more than ever before, you know. Like you said, I'm in my 30th year. I don't know if you change as you get older and you're thinking that, but I do believe that coaching wrestling here at Oklahoma State and creating an environment to where, you know, you're challenging for championships, building your character, building your faith, seems a lot more important today than it did in the past. And I'm really, you know, become motivated, especially as I've seen some of these changes and some of the changes in student athletes over the last few years.
All that being said, though, is there any opportunity, say, for prayer before or after a match in the locker room, or is it a case of not in 2021, Bruce? Anything like that just has to be individually and silently.
No, you know, you let your student athletes take that over. You know, I mean, it's for me, it's real simple. I mean, we are in Oklahoma, and you know, there's a lot of faith. There's a lot of, you know, churches in Stillwater. It's a very Christian town. Mm. And so, you know, I mean, do you get away with more? I don't know. It's just normal for us.
I see.
You know? Yeah. And I'm not too worried about whether I make a mistake. You know, that's not something I'm going to live with, nor do I need to live with, you know? I think the nice thing is that we have some good student athletes that lead the way. And sometimes that's the best way to do it.
So I'm sure that in 30 years of coaching, you've seen your share of injuries to student athletes, unfortunately. I think the first thing a lot of us would say or do is offer up prayer. But can you share with us how a conversation would typically go in that instance, meaning where one of your guys has a fairly significant injury?
Yeah, it's really a time to grow, you know. It's time to grow in your faith. It's a time to grow as an athlete. It's a time to grow as a man, you know. Injuries, I look back on my personal career, and I honestly came off of my injuries stronger, better, and way more smarter.
Wow.
And I think that, you know, it's something you can use to motivate you. There's a level of fear of losing something.
Yeah.
You know, say you're a young kid and you know, you're freshman in college and you tear your ACL, you know, or you dislocate your shoulder. That's a scary moment. You know, you're not going to get those type of injuries normally in high school because of the competition. You're only wrestling in your state, or you're only playing basketball in your state against your community, as well as against your league, which may be made up of 10 schools. You know, when you hit the national level, the world level, you know, you're wrestling the best in the world, and injury, that opportunity for injury can climb, you know, and I think we've seen that. And I think in sports in general, we're seeing a lot more injuries, and I think we're seeing a lot more injuries because the level of competition, it's getting better and better, not just in people are getting stronger and stronger. People are working harder, you know, and with that, we have to deal with setbacks, and those setbacks can be everything for you, you know. And so we do a pretty good job here with our student athletes when it comes to injuries. We put a system around them that's really supportive, from your team doctor to your team trainers. You know, they're there to take care of you, you know, and it gives them a level of confidence that they're going to be taken care of. And I think that's what they need. I think anytime, you know, a young 18 or 19-year-old kid goes down with a serious injury, there's a level of support that needs to be there that can really make the difference in the outcome.
Well, and at the same time, it also goes back to you being in the position to talk one-on-one with a student athlete, and whether it's an injury or it's a match that they lost that they absolutely thought they should have won, you get to talk to them about the topic of dealing with adversity, and yes, in a wrestling context, but bigger picture, how they are going to handle adversity in their life going forward.
Well, I'm a true believer, you know, that we have a generation of maybe athletes that after defeat, after disappointment, they often say, you know, I should have won that match. I should have competed better. And what they should be saying is, why didn't I compete better? Mm-hmm. Why didn't I win that match? You know, it's just too easy to look at a particular wrestling match or an event or where you take second or third and you should have won, or whether you lost an important dual meet. It's just too easy to be saying, I should have won that. And when we can train them into a mindset of always asking themselves, why didn't I perform? And looking back on their habits, looking back on what they did for the last 2 weeks, looking back on their diet, looking back on things that it's real easy to point to and say, this is why I didn't win. It wasn't because I didn't compete at a high level. It's because I skipped some important aspects of the sport that I need to focus back in on.
Yeah, and so when their faith life starts to have some weaknesses, let's say, that's where you say, I should have been a more active participant in Mass. I should have maybe gone to daily Mass. I should have said a rosary instead of just going through the motions and going on Sunday, because that's going to build that foundation that you talked about from your childhood and that strength that you're going to draw upon during times of adversity, when you'll know that your faith is always going to be there with you.
Well, you don't want to see your student athletes negotiate with your faith and you know, mm-hmm. without sport, with sport, no matter what, you know. As often I'm questioning my Catholic student athletes, did you go to Mass, you know? I ask them that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to the student center? Are you going by their student center? You know, mm-hmm. spend some time at student centers. Our student centers on campuses across this country are fabulous. My wife is a convert, and she was became Catholic right there at the student center at Oklahoma State. We went to Mass there for 20 years after I graduated there, until the new, well, basically 26 or 27 years until St. Francis Parish was built. And so, you know, our student centers, I didn't get away from my student center, St. John the Evangelist, until I was almost 50 years old.
Wow.
And that experience in college and that experience participating in the student center was important to me and really helped shape me. And you credit your experience through your church for some of the accomplishments that you've been lucky to fulfill.
Were there any opportunities along the way for you to physically get away from there, meaning to go on a mission trip, a pilgrimage, or a retreat? Or was it a case of you just spent so much time in wrestling that you didn't have the luxury of time to do those kind of activities?
Not a lot. You know, we did get a chance a couple of years ago. We took our team to Italy, and we wrestled in a dual meet in Italy against North Carolina State.
Wow.
We got to spend two full days at the Vatican.
Wow.
Which I had Vatican several times, but even your non-Catholic students, you know, what an experience they had. You know, just seeing the Catholic Museum was incredible. You know, I don't know if you've been through it. I've been through it on several occasions, but that experience alone was something really good for all of them. For me, you're correct. I've been busy, you know, for I'd come out of the college season. I'd start preparing guys for world championships, actually coaching the world championships. I've coached on three different Olympic teams. So, you know, it's a busy time for me. I think that, you know, the one thing that I do and has been real enjoyable in my life is this, you know, on Sunday you end up in a lot of different places rather than home.
Yeah,
you know, and I always make it a point that I find a church. And so that's been a lot of fun for me. I really don't talk a whole lot about it, but wherever I'm at, I find a Catholic church on Sunday.
Fantastic.
And that experience for me has been really good.
Fantastic.
You know, I've seen a lot of beautiful churches in the world. And in some places, it's kind of sad, you know, in Europe a couple of years ago, you know, you go to Mass and you may not see a whole lot of people, and it's kind of just at 10:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and you're kind of wondering what's going on, you know. I just think that, you know, that's one thing that I think that people that are really busy in their life and busy with their jobs and requires traveling. For me, I'm recruiting all the time. You know, to just make sure that you set aside, you know, that time and know where you're going to go to Mass, no matter where you're at, you know, whether it has to be on a Saturday night on the road or whether it has to be on a Sunday morning. I think you'll value the churches around the world, around the nation, and really respect, you know, for me, it's given me a chance to respect my community and our Catholic faith and our community a lot more, and realize how valuable it is and how lucky we are that we have wonderful people that has created an environment in Stillwater that has allowed us to build two brand new churches in the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's great. And I want to encourage the listeners that as much as John said that it does get a little discouraging going into a church and seeing it being more empty than not, and you wonder where everybody is. I learned a lesson from my spiritual director one time when he texted me about they were going to have a healing mass at his church, and I said, "You'll be there?" And he texted me back and said, "Me and Jesus." And so when you're in those what seem like empty churches, just remember that Jesus is there no matter how many people are. So just take everything in and embrace our Catholic faith and embrace that opportunity to see a different church in a different location. John, World Championships, Olympics, Halls of Fame, Pan American Games, you were blessed with so much success. And those are just from your days as a competitive athlete. Do you look at your coaching career and the role that you've had in so many young men's lives as how you have used your time and talent to give back to God for all that he gave to you during your days as a wrestler? Like this is what he called you to next after competing?
Yeah, Bruce, I think it's a big part of it. You know, the one thing that I think as you get older for me is I'm so removed from being an Olympic gold medalist and a world champion. You know, that never ends in your life. There's always, it's always brought up to you. It's always talked about. And of course, I was blessed this year to be inducted into the Oklahoma Hall of Fame. That's non-athletic. That's just Oklahomans that, you know, for me, it was really nice to say that, you know, I moved Oklahoma forward through wrestling, you know, and I felt really blessed by just being able to be the first wrestler ever recognized in the state of Oklahoma. And we have 12, 15 Olympic champions from the state in the sport. And being that first was just like, wow, I did this through wrestling. They're saying that, John Smith, you're in the Hall of Fame because you've moved the state forward through your sport. But for me, you know, I'm so removed now from those world championships and from those gold medals. I don't even, you know, at times I don't even view it as anything, right? You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful feeling, you know, at the age of 55 today, looking back at what you did from the time you was 20 till you was 26. But, you know, life moves on. I'll never forget coming back from the Olympics in 92, wrestled my last match in the Olympic finals and winning the gold medal. All I could think about is, what am I going to do next? What's going to match this? And what you find out is through your faith. Listen, you match it 10 times, 20 times. You know, you recognize that you're not just an Olympic wrestler or Olympic gold medal. I mean, you're something much more and try to be something much more.
That's right.
You know, and I think as you say, I have a responsibility. I mean, I enjoy the fact that in my 30th year that I still play a role for young people. I take it serious, you know. Do I make mistakes? Absolutely, I've made mistakes. You know, I regret a lot of things, you know, but do I dwell on them? No, I do better. I try to do better, and I try to focus on what I am, what I can do well, and what I can do to help each student-athlete through any type of issue that they're dealing with. So it's a little bit about the way I think today. You know, and when I say I really feel removed from those medals, I really do. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't seem real important to me anymore. Mm-hmm. I think the things I'm doing today is there's so much more value in it, and it's fulfilling for me.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, let's close by having you introduce the audience to your family, meaning how long you've been married and then the children that you and your wife have.
Yeah, my wife and I, we both went to Oklahoma State. We started dating when I was just finished up school, and my wife was a junior in college. I came back from the Olympics, took the head job, and we were married in the student center right there on campus, St. John Evangelist. And 25 years later, we have five children. Joseph, my oldest, just graduated a year ago, was a three-time All-American for Oklahoma State, has an ambition right now to go into coaching. My daughters, Isabel and Cecilia, both of them were high school swimmers on four state championship teams as swimmers. They chose to finish up their swimming career in high school and come to Oklahoma State. Isabel is graduating this summer. I had three of them in college 2 years ago, so that was a challenge. But my son, Samuel, is, as I said, won his first state championship this year as a sophomore. I think one day he'll wrestle for Oklahoma State if he wants to.
Wow.
And, of course, my youngest, Levi, he was our surprise child. I was 44, and my wife was 41. And, you know, I found out when I was down in Florida, I took some alumni. I'll make this quick. Took some alumni down to Florida. We were fishing. She calls me, and she's huffing and puffing, crying, upset about something. And I just kind of was trembling at the time, like something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Something went wrong. And, you know, the worst things are going through my mind.
Yeah.
And when she told me, pregnant, I praise God. It was just like, that's the greatest news I've ever heard. But what I was thinking wasn't good. And that's the way you need to learn that you're having a child at 44, you know, and everything turned out okay, you know, and we were blessed with him. And of course, it keeps us young and keeps us on our toes. So it's been a nice run. Look forward to the future.
Fantastic. Well, John, God bless you and your family, and thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, Bruce.
Listeners, we will close with a prayer that comes from the National Catholic Coaches Association, and of course, we'll do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory throughout our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, we all want to win. Above the desire to win, teach us to remember our victories toward godly living as we learn to obey you and your word daily. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.